we needed a new control system just because we needed to be more current and to be where the state of the industry was and ideally moving forward from there. And we really, we hit a home run with the Daktronic system.
Hello and welcome to the Daktronic Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner here with Matt Anderson. Today we're joined by Scott Davidson, Broadcast Systems Engineer at American Airlines Center, to talk about his role, their LED control system upgrades, and so much more. And we're here today with Scott. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Matt, how are you doing over there?
I'm doing good, Justin. Thank you.
All right. So, Scott, can you tell us a little bit about your role with American Airlines Center?
Well, my role with American Airlines Center is I'm the guy that gets to have all the fun because I get to actually deal with the events. I get to deal with the production stuff. I don't have to deal with the minutia of making sure the building doesn't fall down and cleaning up after people or selling tickets. I get to play with all the fun toys.
Okay.
And, you know, I enjoy that a whole lot.
So tell me a little bit, Scott, how did you end up in that role? Kind of what's your, I would say, kind of, you know, we say origin story kind of jokingly, but yeah. How did you get to where you are right now?
Well, I actually started in broadcast radio. Which is what we did before podcasts. And yep. Then I moved from a small market radio station to Dallas, and I did some radio in Dallas, and then met some people who did mobile television. And after meeting those people through different contacts, I ended up at the American Airlines Center. And from there, the job just sort of grew with me, I guess you could say. My background is electrical and electronic engineering. So the things that I'm doing are engineering based. And as systems have evolved and been replaced through the natural updating of things, I just kind of grew along with it and learned the skills as I went. So this is my, don't quote me on this, I want to say it's about my 13th, 14th year at the American Airlines Center.
Okay.
And my something or another year doing this sort of work. So that's sort of my backstory in a nutshell. I've been involved in broadcast and media and technology pretty well my entire career.
Okay. So if you're describing a day in the life of a normal day when events are going on, what's an average day look like for you as a broadcast systems engineer?
Well, a typical day, we're aiming for a game start at 7:30. So usually by 11, 12 o'clock in the morning, I'm on site and we're getting everything prepped for the day that we know of, which would mean we're turning systems on, we're turning computers on, we're turning monitors on, we're making sure that the LED will fire up, we're making sure the PA will come on, getting anything set up from the night before. We're both NBA and NHL, so we have a hockey game one night, the next night could be basketball, and that means we've got to set up a whole bunch of stuff courtside. So I'm involved in making sure that everything gets set up, I guess you could say, even though most everybody knows their job, they just do it. I'm the one that they call if something doesn't seem right, or, hey, this isn't working today, or, well, I busted a wire, or somebody else usually busted the wire. No one ever claimed that one. But,
somebody.
So that's really kind of what my job is just to know how all the systems work, how all the systems play together. And if I do my job right, nobody ever knows I've done my job. That's really how it boils down. If I'm having a good day, it means that nobody has called me for anything. Everything fired up and worked. If I'm having a rough day, it means we've had an issue or multiple issues someplace. But for the most part, we've got it where we're buying quality equipment and we know exactly how we put it in. We're a little different than some places are in that we tend to do our own integration. So we're looking at products all the time, always evaluating. And then when it comes down to a game day, hopefully I have a pretty easy time. And I would say 70% of the time I do. So ultimately, it's really just a lot of, I tell people I'm an insurance policy. If they see me there and they know I'm doing things, they're fine.
So you get there nice and early on the days of events. And like you're saying, it's obviously to make sure that everything fires up. If something doesn't, then you have time to work on it. Then when it comes time for the game or event to start, then are you, you know, you mentioned you're in the insurance policy. Are you sitting in the control room, or kind of what are you doing during the event? Are you like on call somewhere waiting and to just jump into the action and help fix stuff?
The answer to your question is yes. lots of times, if I can, I like to try and watch the games. And usually at the time the game starts, we get to 7:30, if you will, the game starts, things are going. And I like to kind of sit back and watch the game to make sure everything's working the way it should, because there are things that I'll notice that the audience might not. For example, let's say that the stats aren't functioning properly, aren't displaying correctly. Well, if I kind of see what's going on, I can know, oh yeah, somebody's kicked the wire out here, or, oh wait, that's a problem from the league, things like that. Mm-hmm. I like to sit back and watch. I like to see how the intros go, because the intro for both the Dallas Mavericks and the Dallas Stars is really their big, you know, that's the crescendo, the last thing they can really control from a game production standpoint. After that, it's totally dependent upon what the players do. But the intro is the big, everything synchronized, everything firing on all cylinders. And the crowd, you know, it's getting the crowd ramped up to that fever pitch so they can start cheering for the game. So That's the type of thing I like to sit back and watch that. I can be most anywhere in the arena bowl for that. But as you noted, there are occasions where I'm not able to be there because I'm working on something else or we have an issue. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll have cameras that, oh man, that camera's not firing right. Okay, well, let's bring it down, see if we can figure out what's going on. And so I'll go down and make sure that everybody's doing what they're supposed to fix that. We'll have last minute graphics that have shown up from time to time that, okay, let me get this loaded up because the guys that would normally load it are running the game now. So there are things like that where I'm a backup operator in the sense that I know how to use just about all of the equipment, but I am not the primary operator because I'm not that good at using the equipment. I can make it work.
You're like the master troubleshooter as you're going around. Is that
to a point? Yeah, that would be a good description. But that's also where, you know, I need to see how people are using the equipment too. And that's always good to know, because one operator will do things one way, another operator will do things a different way. And I can look at it and go, you know, I set this up for me because it made sense to me, but everybody else does it differently. Why don't we change that? Okay. So to things like that, I'll be examining as well. And so during a game, I could be anywhere doing anything, but for the most part, I like to be actually watching the game and seeing how some of the things work to make sure they are working.
And you mentioned the Mavericks and the Stars, so you obviously do basketball and hockey. What other types of events do you host at the American Airlines Center?
Well, we've got the concerts and what we call third-party events. So there's, you know, touring concerts, different touring shows that will come in. We also, through the course of the summer, usually have 2 to 3 corporate events that are private events for different businesses. I won't name them here, but they come in, and some of those productions are actually more elaborate and more over the top.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I was going to think the other direction, but that's interesting.
No, some of those, they'll need most of the corporate events, truthfully. If they're going to do one day a show, they have 3 to 4 days of setup and rehearsal just to do that one day of show.
Wow.
So the corporate events they're a mixed bag. We had one last summer that was one of the best I've ever seen done. It was a production company out of Nashville, and they were amazing. So it was a lot of fun because they brought in more gear that I've seen in one place than a lot of other things. You see shows like WWE, for example. That's a touring show. Every week they go to a different spot, but they're down to a science, the way they can roll in and roll out and tie everything together. And they have people that know how to create the graphics for a ribbon board, which is something a lot of people don't know how to do. So, you know, we hit the whole gamut of shows, and they're pretty fun most of the time.
Yeah, because that's one of the areas I was curious about. You know, when you mentioned concerts and touring, and WWE's got to be similar, was, you know, you have your existing equipment in the facility, and then you having to make sure all that works. How does your level, I mean, your level of involvement's got to be a lot, but when they come in, you know, touring concerts sometimes come in with their own displays, their own control systems, and then I'm guessing you have to be in a lot of meetings to make sure everything connects together and talks well.
For the most part, everybody that comes in as a touring show is as self-contained as they can be, because to be brutally honest, there's a lot of places that don't have the same equipment that we do at the American Airlines Center in Dallas. So if a touring show comes in and they want to use some of the house gear, which does happen, they will just kind of keep these as two separate fiefdoms. And there'll be an operator for their system, an operator for our system. And the most we really do is interconnect the intercom.
Okay. So for the corporate events, then you mentioned all those get complex. Is it, I'm trying to think what a corporate event is aside from like a trade show type deal. Is it like a stage? You have keynote speakers? How do the corporate events get so intense?
A corporate event, a typical corporate event, I'll give you a little kind of mini rundown. It's a rah-rah sales conference, depending on the product that's being sold. And they'll have multiple speakers that come up to the podium. They'll usually have the CEO come up and talk, and they'll have, you know, top salespeople come up and talk, and the marketing people will come up and talk, and they'll encourage the crowd of attendees to go out and sell more, or they'll show them the new products that are going to be available in the next year. They'll show them the new sales pitch sheets that'll be available for the next year. They'll, hey, if you go out and sell $1 million worth of product in the next month, everybody gets a double bonus or something like this. They'll give encouragement like that to all their salespeople. Or also it can be an informational meeting. So if you've got we've done corporate events for fast food chains. So, you know, they bring in fast food chain operators from all over the U.S. and they'll sit there and the company president will stand up and go, we're going to do this new sandwich because four of you have tried it and said it's great. Here's what's involved in making the sandwich. So those are what the corporate event would be. They'll kind of go the whole gamut from very, very simple, just, you know, a basic set of graphics on the arena screens, microphone and a podium, to, man, you'd think they're rock stars coming out there with flashing lights and thundering music. And, you know, some of these shows, then they'll bring in big name talent to perform. And so it's a private concert by, pick an artist that's out there touring today. And the company is paid for that and they come in and do it. So that's it. The corporate events can be very simple to very complex. And yes, there are times when I sit in a lot of meetings for one corporate event and we go through a lot of things, and then they find out that, well, no, it's going to cost me money to bring a crew in. It's not free. And we all of a sudden make cutbacks. Or, oh, well, you know, we really like how this came out for the game last night. We want to do three times that amount. So we don't care what it costs.
Wow. Yeah. And I've heard of some of these corporate events. My father-in-law actually used to work for a larger company, and they would have a corporate event once a year, and they would bring just thousands of people into whatever city, and they would bring in extra talent, like you're saying, and have huge concerts, just to employee appreciation surrounding like a sales week while they learn all this stuff. It's kind of crazy how big those events can actually get. Like you're saying, you'd think they're rock stars, but yeah, they bring in all that extra stuff. That's interesting. So sometimes with those bigger events, they get really complex, and you have to have obviously a good control system to run everything. And you recently did upgrade your control system. Could you tell us a little bit about the key driver behind that?
Well, the key driver behind updating our control system was the fact that our existing control system was getting a little long in the tooth. It had been around for 6 years, 7 years, and in your computer years, that's kind of old. We really try and keep our PC-based servers updated on about a 5-year cycle. Gives us an opportunity to keep the hardware refreshed and also make sure that we can keep the hard drives themselves still spinning, because those are fairly critical yet to making computers work. So age of the system was the primary driver. A very close secondary driver was the fact that control system software has improved dramatically over the past 5 to 6 years. And we were looking at some of the new features that the vendors had out there, and man, well, this could save us time. This could help our workflow. This could improve the overall look. And then we look at things like, oh, we've got more data integration now. We've got additional workflow, additional file formats that we need to look at. And so we factored all that together, and it helped us make a case to go to ownership and say, we believe it is a responsible time to update things at this particular juncture. What we have is old, and we've run it beyond what we told you we really should. And we can make a really nice investment now that will give you dividends to help improve your workflows and your shows moving forward. And, you know, I need to be very fair here and say that thankfully the Mavericks and the Stars, who are the primary people that I work for, a company that is owned by both those teams, they understand that they need to invest in the game production, in the building production capability. And so Mark Cuban and Tom Gilardi, who own those teams, they are always very willing to invest in these products. And so it makes my job really kind of easy to have fun and look at these things. But we needed a new control system just because we needed to be more current and to be where the state of the industry was, and ideally moving forward from there. And we really we hit a home run with the Daktronics system.
All right. So when you're going around thinking about this upgrade, you know, you mentioned it was old and you could do more stats maybe. Like, how did you end up coming up with a list of, you know, what do we want this thing to do that it can't do now? Do you go to a lot of other events to help get ideas for that, or how do you come up with it?
Between my boss, myself, and the team game producers who really helped drive a lot of this, they're the ones who we all talk amongst ourselves quite often as to what features we would like the system to have. The teams will say, you know, we want to be able to display stats. We want to be able to have self-rendered graphics. We want to be able to load MP4 files. And I'm looking at it from the standpoint of, I want a system that isn't going to crash every other button click. I want a system that will have support. And I want a company that will be there to make sure they're going to work with us and get us updates as we need them. Because that the only constant that we really have when working with this stuff is the requirements today are going to be changed by tomorrow. So we need a company that wants to evolve as the industry evolves, and who will give us ideas and ways to do things and help us come up with a creative solution if we have a one-off problem that we need to solve. So you put all those things together, and that's kind of how we make the shopping list. And then we go and we see what's on the market. We're always kind of paying attention to that. I'm not going to lie and say I'm not paying attention to anything out there today just because we updated a year ago. Yep. But, you know, we look at what's out there. We look at what everybody has. And we've built good relationships with a lot of vendors. And there's a lot of people that are very honest with us. And we talk to other buildings and other industry people. We have a very good relationship with the Dallas Cowboys and their staff, just for example. And, you know, the Cowboys, oh, well, here's what we're doing. Here's why we're doing it. And we'll look at that and we'll go, yeah, okay, so that doesn't fit our workflow. That's not the way the teams have said they want to do things. That's not going to work in with the third party events the way we need to do it. So we can't really give that a whole lot of reason to go this direction. But then we see something else and we go, okay, let's talk about that. And there's a lot of times we talk certain systems to death, but we usually get everything uncovered. And then when it comes in and it gets installed, We know exactly what we're getting, and we know what questions to ask to make sure that the commissioning people come and they get certain things set up and ready to go for us. So we don't, you know, really, if I wanted to be real greedy, I'd say I want as many features as I can get. Realistically, there's a lot of features that every system has that I will never use, but other people will. Mm-hmm. And I say that, you know, a perfect example is there's certain automated features that are built into these systems. Daktronix has some great ones that if I was a college sports operator, I would absolutely love, because I could automate this and one person could do tons of stuff. Well, I'm not a college sports operator. What I do, I've got personnel that create things. I've got different pieces in place because I'm a different operator. But I understand why the companies have to do that, because I'm not their only customer, which is both good and bad all at the same time. But you know, if I could have an entire crew of people in South Dakota working to build me the perfect system, they are really doing working on that, even though they probably groan when they see my notes. I have to be fair to them and realize that they have to make a product with more broad appeal than just to me. The good part is well-built systems, well-designed systems will easily translate. So even though I'm in the professional sports market for NBA and NHL, someone in college football, you know, if they came in and said, I need a system to do W, X, Y, and Z, I could sit there and go, oh yeah, I got show control doing all that and more. So there's a lot of crossover, and there's even things that in talking to Michael Cruz, my DAC application.
Yeah. I know Michael.
I think he's someone who I've never met anybody who thinks outside the box as well as he does, because he'll sit and listen to me and go, okay, so your end result is this? I go, well, yeah. He goes, well, what if we went a different direction than what you just described? And usually, you know, I've taken 5 minutes to describe something. He comes back in 10 seconds and says, well, if you just go the other direction, it's already there. Okay, fine. Show on.
No, that's really good. The point you bring up is awesome, because I've been to a lot of different control systems at my time here at DAC. Mm-hmm. And it's so true that, you know, we always say it sounds, I don't know, cliche to say, but there's no two control rooms are built the same, because you have so many different levels. And then within each level, you have so many different number of operators, different number of displays, broadcast stuff they're doing. So being able to have a control system that's really flexible must be very important.
It really is. And that's the thing that we probably look at more than anything, because even just between the Dallas Mavericks and the Dallas Stars, they're doing a lot of the same things, but their back-end structures, the way their marketing departments are set up, are completely different. So the Stars have people who are on staff doing the editing, creating videos, figuring out how to actually use for playback during games. The Mavs, they use a lot more third-party animation houses, and they just send the files in and we'll figure it out a different way. We've got different personnel. So even from my standpoint, it can be a little different between the two teams. And that flexibility is very key to us, because that allows us to set things up differently for both teams, number one, but also keep it the same and allow me to do what I need to do. So it's somewhat tiered in that I can have it set up for each team individually. They can be in full control of what they need to control, but yet I'm the guy that ultimately can kick them off and do what I need to do if there's an issue or I need to get support.
Right, right. And you mentioned that you work with Michael Cruz to kind of come up with different ways to do different things and end at the same result. Like you're looking to do things to get this result, and he comes up with a different way to make that happen for you. Mm-hmm. How else have you worked with Daktronix to kind of design this system and integrate it into the facility?
Well, I guess I'll go back to when we first put it in. There were some things that, quite frankly, we took for granted and DAC took for granted. I'll just be brutally honest there. Okay. And say that. The thing that really impressed me and still impresses me to this day is how, as soon as we realized where we had both had a miscommunication, and I'm not pointing a finger at any one person in particular, I'm as guilty as anybody else, Daktronix immediately stepped up and said, oh, well, we see we need to do this. And now that we see how your workflow is, oh, this is why we should do this. And now we understand, you know, WXY leads to Z. And okay. So those are the things that people at Daktronics have taken a very good interest in what we're doing. They've taken a proactive interest in what we're doing to try and come up with features that will make my life easier, that will make the operators' lives easier. And those the help and support on that aspect has been phenomenal. That's something that I cannot say enough about, because we have basically, you know, I joke about having a private crew in South Dakota working for me. I kind of do.
Yeah.
They're there. They're wanting to make sure that stuff works. We've shown them the use case, because there are things that we're doing, things that we wanted to do that they had never had to deal with before. They'd never seen the use case before. They'd never dealt with somebody that operates like we do. That might mean we're completely wrong, to be perfectly honest, but that's the part where instead of making me change everything, they're all meeting together to say, okay, this is where we have to get. We kind of have to move down the road in this fashion. And there are software programmers, and I've heard a whole bunch of names, and if I start trying to remember them all, I'm going to forget. So let me just say, there's a whole crew of people in South Dakota and all over the Daktronics universe that are taking a very keen interest in what we're doing to make sure that it is not only doing what we need it to do, but also functioning optimally in the Daktronics ecosystem. And having a product like Show Control that's so versatile, that they've done updates to this stuff that, well, that's really awesome. And they come back and, you know, I'll ask for a little thing, and they come back and they've not only done the little thing, but six more things with it that I hadn't thought of. And so that's the type of support that we're getting from Daktronics. And Cruz, I gave him a bad time as being a wizard, but he really is. And he's being the orchestra conductor as the liaison really between me and the American Airlines Center and all the folks at DAC. And he's done a fantastic job trying to translate, or better yet, to help me recreate what an issue may be so he can get it reported back to get it fixed correctly. So there have been a lot of people at DAC who have really stepped up to the plate. And, you know, I say stepped up to the plate, but I think DAC was a whole lot closer on a bunch of this stuff. It just took me saying, I really could use that. And, oh, well, yeah, we've thought about that, and here's how we could do it. And next thing you know, they've got, you know, that problem and six others fixed. So they're a fantastic crew that really does have the customer's interest at heart.
Yeah, that's awesome. It was, you said earlier, not you wish you had your own crew back here in South Dakota helping you out. And then it's been awesome just listening to you talk here for the last couple of minutes of you like slowly realizing that maybe you do have your own group here back in South Dakota helping you out.
Yeah, I know I do. And I it is something that we appreciate. And you go back to how you make a decision. What are the big things you look for in choosing a system? Those are the type of things we want. And, you know, we sat down and looked at all the major players. You know, prudence dictates you look at the major players, because when we go to make a recommendation to ownership, this is the direction we need to go. We want to spend money with Daktronics. They're going to turn around and say, have you looked at everybody? Have you tried to negotiate for the best price? Have you found all the features we're going to need? And so we have to turn around and say, yes, we have. We've talked to everybody. And when we talked to DAC, one of the big things we were looking at was, okay, how serious are you about this? Because at the time we purchased, Daktronics was a serious player in the LED market. We weren't so familiar with their control systems, but the more we looked at it, we're going, okay, this looks good. But more so than even just looking at it, we had the confidence because we felt Daktronics was interested and serious in making the best product out there. And if they were willing to work with us, we would do everything we could to help them, which is, it's been a real good partnership with Daktronics in that regard, because they are interested in making sure we get the best product out there. They want to make sure we've got all the support we need. They want to make sure it is the best product on the market. And, you know, we've had some major updates in the past 12 months or so that it is the best product out there, as far as I'm concerned. For what we're doing, it's tough to beat. And even if when I now look at what the competition has, I sit there and I go, well, I can do that with my DAC, and I can do it easier with my DAC. So that those are the things that I'm looking at now. And then if the teams come at me with a request, I can say, okay, let's run it up the flagpole and see what the DAC people have to say. And, you know, there are times where at first it's like, you are out of your ever-loving mind. And then they come back and they go, well, you know, we actually kind of see that after we stopped and thought about it. So here's what we can offer you today, but give us a second and we're going to get this into a development cycle and we're going to be able to offer you even more in about a month. Well, okay. And so there are things that everybody has worked on so well. And, you know, when we made the decision to go with DAC, we felt pretty confident, but it has been reinforced very strongly over the past few months.
Wow. Thank you. That's always great to hear. And you mentioned the flexibility of the system and obviously the support you're getting from Dactronics and how we're updating with your use cases and trying to meet your needs there. I got to know, is there a certain feature that kind of sticks out in your mind that might be like one of your favorites that we've been able to provide for you?
The probably the biggest and best feature that we've seen improvement on has been the Live Clips box. That has, from where it started when it first came in the door to where it's at now, it has improved tremendously. And there are things that, quite frankly, we took for granted on some of our older systems that, when we came to the DAC Live Clips, we're going, oh man, well, what about this? And the level of commitment from Dactronics to get that box to a point where, oh yeah, it's doing everything better than what any other box was, that has been just outstanding. When I look at where it was when it first walked in the door to where it is sitting in the rack today, the software is night and day different. I mean, it looks the same, it functions better, it has more features. We've got multi-channel audio, we're working on it, and there's still more features that are being worked on as we speak. So the Live Clips is a huge, huge feather in the cap of Dactronics right now because of where it was to where it is. The other big thing that we've seen improvement on, or updates on, I guess I'll say, is the data package from the NBA going from the RS-232 data feed to the NGSS, I believe it is right now. And that Dactronics took the data and is working to make it as user-friendly as possible. And so now, instead of having a limited amount of data over here in the corner, I've got a fire hose of data, but because of the way Dactronics set it up, it's giving me features and a way to sort that data and make it easy to use. Whereas the competition just says, here's the fire hose, good luck picking it out. So that's something that it's things like that. The Dactronics is taking the user in mind. They're looking at how the programming works. And the, you know, it's from my standpoint, I guess you could say it's because I'm of the male species. Maybe it's the engineering side of me, not quite sure. You know, I don't like to read manuals. I ought to plug it in and make it work because I can do that. You know, I'm sure you guys aren't like that at all. But when the DAC system first came in, I knew there was going to be a learning curve, that I would have to learn a lot of new stuff, which I kind of like that part, but at the same time, it hates me when I'm not a master just setting down an osmosis. You are now. So these are the things that I watched the DAC people that came in to help us with the programming and the commissioning, and they knew how to do stuff. And I'm like, oh, whoa, back up. I got to see that because that is really cool. And then they'll back up. They showed me, and there are things that I see there, and there are things that I look at and I go, okay, so there's even more power here than what I thought. And it's things like that that I'm very excited about, and that I see that DAC has, because it's built a very solid system. And especially you know, the data side of things, DAC has just knocked out of the park, because we've, you know, the data and the stats, those are the things that you can't get while necessarily sitting at home watching the game on TV. You've got to be in the arena to know, oh, I can watch the game here and I can get this stat there, and I can always look up and see what that is there. And those are the things that we look at and we go, man, this is awesome. And then we look at the show control side of things and what it can do for us and the way it's talking to everything. And, oh, well, we can do this and we can write a button that controls this. Oh, you want the same button to control 55 other things. And the show control system takes off and does that. And it's easy to go through and make one edit to change something. And it's, there's a lot of good features here. If I had to try and pick one, I can't do it.
It sounded tough. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And that's just what I'm thinking of off the top of my head. I mean, with COVID-19ing right now, and I'm trying to remember this while, you know, staring out the window at my house. Yeah. And I realized if I was in front of the rack, I could probably talk for another 2 hours. So it's a very solid system. And, you know, the other big piece that I looked at, aside from the Daktronic support, was the reliability. And I understand these are Windows computers, and they will need rebooted every now and again, bottom line. Every Windows computer does from time to time. We have gone from, on the old system, we were forced to reboot at least every day before an event, sometimes middle of the event.
Oof.
To there are times where we don't have to reboot the DAC system for weeks.
Wow.
Now, that's probably not smart, because, you know, we don't like rebooting in the middle of an event, but the DAC hot backup does actually work really awesome for that. If we had to, I've only had to do it once, and it was my fault too. So I'm not even going to blame anybody on that, but the stability of the software, and that's something that a lot of people don't appreciate. It's not something that a lot of people talk about too much, but the stability of the DAC software is just superb. And I'm always amazed how, you know, right now, again, we're sitting here at home. Nobody's been into the arena for well over a month. We haven't touched any system for well over a month. I had one of my editors call me last week saying he was amazed that he was able to log in, work on something, put a graphic up to test, and he's got a little remote access camera he can look at. He said, that system's still running. He goes, when did you reboot it? I go, I didn't reboot it since last time we were there. And he's going, you're kidding. He goes, I figured you'd gone down and rebooted everything at some point. Nope. It's still kicking away there. So that stability just speaks to a back-end product, the back-end side of the product that is super, super reliable, super, super solid. And that's something that Daktronics probably needs more credit for, and they need to tout more than they do. But from my standpoint, that has been a big feature that, quite frankly, it's so out of sight, out of mind, I didn't think of it to start with. But it is something that is pretty awesome.
Wow. Those are all great things, Scott. Thank you so much. If we can take a break maybe from the control system side, and I'm just curious of a fun story. You know, you sat through a lot of different events. Is there a top event that sticks out in your mind that you've been to?
Oh,
that's or is that too tough a question as well?
Well, there's good events and there are train wrecks of events.
So they're memorable, but not in a good way.
Yeah.
Maybe go for the other one.
Yeah. As far as good memories go, one of the best events, well, there's a couple of them. The NHL draft was here a couple years ago.
Okay.
And, that was a different type of event than what we'd ever had. So that was memorable from that regard. It ended up being a lot of fun to watch, and it's even more fun when you watch some of the players in the past couple of years that have skated, going, oh, I remember when they were here, you know, fresh faced, and didn't realize how much work this was going to be. So that was a fun event. The other event that was a lot of fun was Dirk Nowitzki's retirement game.
Oh,
last year.
Yeah.
The Mavericks, they spared no expense on that one. And they did a big, huge blowout for him. And there was, you know, you had Charles Barkley there, and Scottie Pippen was there, and these players that were, you know, you didn't realize how awesome they were. And they're really nice guys too. And they kept this all hidden from Dirk. And so we got to that particular game night. Somebody had to be down on the court to cue a couple things, and everybody else was tied up. So, well, I can make my way down there. I'll go take care of this part. And so I was down there, you know, kind of holding doors for Scottie Pippen and Charles Barkley. So
that was
a lot of fun, because it's not something you do every day.
Right. No.
But it's also, also the part of Dirk is such a nice guy. You do it for him just because he's Dirk.
Right.
And he was and still is such a huge supporter of the Mavericks, huge supporter of Dallas, that he's just a nice guy. And, you know, when you work with nice guys like that, it's who could be real jerks because they've got the talent to back it up.
Mm-hmm, right.
But when they're nice guys, those are the things that stick out. So as far as big events, those are a couple of them. As far as concerts go, there are some really awesome concerts out there. I've seen a lot of different concert tours, and understand when I go to watch a concert, I don't watch it because I necessarily like the artist. I'm watching to see what the technology is they're using. I'm seeing how the lights work. I'm looking to see how they're integrating video. And it's the part where, and I gotta be honest, you can tell when you have a quality LED video screen like a Daktronix and you have a not so quality LED video screen on a concert tour.
Okay.
Those are the things that I'm looking at to see how they work, to see, oh, well, they're doing this, they're using this system. Oh, they've tied this together. Oh, that's really awesome. As far as concerts go, one of the best ones I've seen has probably been Garth Brooks. Garth is someone, not only is he a nice guy again, but he wants to create an immersive experience for the audience. He wants it to be just, I mean, high energy, top notch the entire time he's on stage. And so he was one of the shows that they walked into the arena and he had this huge elaborate stage and, oh, this is going to be awesome. And so he's setting this up and, you know, Garth is actually out there pushing road cases off the truck into the building because, you know, hey, you know, these guys need some help sometimes. So
right.
he's out there, you know, schlepping along with everybody else. He walks in, he goes, hey, you know, let's make sure to get the graphics for these LED rings. So, you know, we get the files and okay. He had, I think, 15 different songs that had a graphics package on the house LED rings.
Oh man.
So that was something that, you know, you bring it in and, oh, wow, all of a sudden you've got his screens with the same graphic tied all around the building. And, you know, he's jumping and dancing and singing away. And so it's a very immersive experience. And the audience goes away going, that was awesome.
Yeah, right.
So, and then he does like 10 more shows in the weekend of that same place.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I think he did 9 shows in 4 days.
That's crazy.
It was crazy. But, those are the type of shows that really stand out are the ones where there's a lot of interaction with the artist and they come in and, oh, I want to make this awesome because I've got the tools here to do it with. And he had to have the personnel to create the graphics and to make sure they got delivered in the right format and to understand how to do it, which, you know, you start talking about ribbon boards, that's not always an easy
no, right.
Not an easy thing for a lot of graphic artists to comprehend.
Yeah.
But he had people that knew what they were doing, which that always makes it a lot of fun because then you get to see somebody else's creative and somebody else's take on how this can work. So there's some really awesome shows that come through and it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome to hear all those events you've been through. I'm sure there's been a lot more too, but
There are a few that don't have quite the good memories with them, but right. save those for another podcast.
I'm glad you stayed away from the train wreck one. So yeah. those are better.
Right. And once everything starts coming back and events start happening again, is there anything big you're looking forward to for either the upcoming sports seasons or upcoming events?
I'm just looking forward to getting back, truthfully. At this point, everything has just been put on hiatus. We're looking at some new stuff for the Mavs and Stars. that probably will be show controlled, which will help make for a more immersive experience in a couple of opening sequences for both teams. It's things that we've talked about. They're right now, with everything going on, it's tough to get budgets approved for expensive new gear, but it's something that we're at least talking about. It may still be a year out, but more than anything, just getting back, and then we'll get back. We'll have a look at how everything's working, and we'll see how we move forward, where we move forward to. And again, I'm just very thankful that I work for people that understand investing in this technology to continue to make things push forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just want to thank you for coming on and sharing all that information with us. It's great to hear from somebody in your position working with the pro teams and actually working with the equipment. So thanks for joining us today.
You guys are absolutely welcome. And if anybody ever gets to Dallas, you need to come check out a Mavs game, a Stars game, or some concert. And you can see bits and pieces of all this wonderful stuff we've talked about.
Okay. Absolutely. When things start opening up again, Justin and I will have to come down there and see you.
Anytime. You guys are always welcome.
All right. Well, thanks again for joining us today.
You bet.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dactronics Experience Podcast. Please subscribe at your favorite place to listen to podcasts to keep up with our latest episodes.